You may be seated. We, as you know, we've been studying about angels, and angels are, we've been talking about in our first study, which is the nature of angels. And as we've been talking about the nature of angels, there's four categories that I broke that down into. And number one, they are spirit beings, and we talked about that. They typically do not have bodies, but there are occasions in the Old Testament that we do find angels with bodies, with Abraham and also with Lot, we find that. And they are personal beings as well. They have personalities, personhood, just like us. They have mind, will, and emotion. They are created beings by Almighty God. They are not beings that are like God, but they are beings that are to serve God. And they are also organized. And those are the things we've covered. And tonight, we're going to look at them. They are moral beings. Now, when we finish tonight's study, which probably won't be too lengthy, unless I get off on a tangent, and hopefully not, and then we'll start studying about holy angels next Wednesday night. But I also want to go back and ask you the question, because I want you to continue to remember this. What are the three reasons God created angels? What do they do?
Warrior.
I always
remember that one.
What was the other one?
Worshippers.
Worshippers. What? Witnesses. There we go. So they are, number one, what? Warriors. Witnesses. Worshippers. All right. With that out of the way, let's get to our text. And we are talking about they are moral beings, and they were created in a state of holiness. And we're going to read out of Genesis chapter 1 to start out in verse number 31. And it says, "Then God saw everything that he had made." Now, the reason I use this verse, he saw everything that he had made. There was nothing that was in existence other than God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything else is created. He created it, and the terminology of the Hebrew language, ex nihilo, which means he created it out of nothing. So, he saw that everything that he made, it was very good. And then it says, so the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And we know that after that, God rested. So, angels fall under that context of being created beings. And God created them as moral beings. Now, when you think about this, God created them and he looked around and he saw that they were, everything was flawless in its beauty. All of creation was flawless. There was not a flaw to be found in anything that God made. It was flawless in function as well. Flawless in purpose, and flawless also in potential. Everything that God made was absolutely perfect. So his angels were all moral beings in creation. In Jude verse 6, it says these words, "Unfortunately, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode." Now, where was their abode? It was in heaven with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the very presence of God as worshipers. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the day of great, of the judgment of that great day. So, what happened is, when they fell into condemnation. There was never an opportunity, as I've said before, for angels to be redeemed. God did not make angels to be redeemed. He only made man that we could be redeemed, and we have the privilege of being in his presence based upon the finished work of his Son. So, the angels were created in a state of holiness. However, they did not continue to keep their proper domain. Their proper domain was as worshipers for God, worshiping God in the very presence of God. But they refused, and they began to follow Satan, who was called Lucifer, the son of the morning. And we know that they all fell. They were cast down. And if you will, they were cast down from heaven into the air because Satan is the prince of the power of air. We're going to find out a little bit later in our study. They were cast down then to the earth. And then they will be cast down into the abode, the bottomless pit. And then from the bottomless pit, they will be cast into hell or to the lake of fire. And finally, that will be their ultimate and final destination, because they did not keep their proper domain. And God created everything with purpose, everything with form, everything with function, and everything that He created was absolutely perfect. Now, these moral beings are subject to Christ. And when we think of the moral beings, these angels being subject to Christ, let's go to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 22, it says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God." Now, if you read the context, that's talking about Jesus, His death upon the cross, burial, His resurrection, and then His ascension. And He is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been made subject unto Him. So everything in creation is subject unto the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's God created His Son. They all come under the domain, and there's an order in everything that God does. And it's a perfect order. And that perfect order, because of the fallen angels, it disrupted perfection. However, God is going to recreate the heavens and the earth, and as Peter said, it will be burned with fire, but after it is consumed, God will bring everything together and create it brand new again, a new heaven and a new earth. You can read about that in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22 anytime you so desires. But right now, the holy angels, they're with the Heavenly Father, they're with Jesus, and they have assignments. As I said, they're not only worshipers because of the fall, but they are also warriors now. And like Michael, the archangel I told you last week, his domain, he presides over, and you read it in the book of Daniel, he presides over the nation of Israel. And if you want to know why Israel is still in existence, it is because they are God's chosen people, and His mighty angel, the archangel of God, is overshadowing the people that God chose all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1 through 3, when He tells Abraham that He's going to make a great nation out of them. Until this very present day, God has always preserved His people. Now, the next thing I want to share with you, it is in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. And when Satan sinned, a multitude of angels fell with Satan. And as we read the text there in Isaiah chapter 14, I want to read this with you. There's two things. There's a double meaning here. When you look back and you see prophecy, often there's a meaning at the present time, and then there's a later fulfillment in the future. The meaning at the present time, the writer of Isaiah was speaking personally about the king of Babylon, but also he was speaking prophetically about what would transpire in the future with the fall of Satan. Here's what he says: "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground." Now watch that next line. "You who weakened the nation." You who weakened the nations. "For you have said in your heart." And these are the five I wills of Satan. And if you want to know why he fell, it was because he wanted to be above God. He wanted God to worship him. But the entire issue was one of pride. It was pride. And pride is the national religion of hell. Just like Sinatra, "I will do it my way." Or, "I'm good enough," or, "I'm as good as anybody down there at that church," which we've all heard. Or, "I'm a moral person. I'd give somebody the shirt off of my back." Pride. Did you hear that? It's all about me, me, me. And salvation isn't about me, me, me. It's about him, what he did, not what I did, what he did to prepare me for his presence. I will ascend into heaven. Now, did you notice? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You know what the stars of God are, don't you? We'll find out a little bit later, but I'll give you stars of God, what he's talking about. He's not talking about the stars that we see in the cosmos. What he's talking about are all the other angels and God. Next, I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Why? He's called the bright and morning star, our heavenly Father. What? I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I'll go ahead and read verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. In other words, I'm going to elevate myself, and God says, no, I'm going to demote you to the pit. You will not sit above any stars. You will not be above any angels. You will not be above me, and you will not receive worship. So let me just pause here and give you a couple of things, give you six quick things you might want to write down. You might already know these, but I want to give you six quick things that you need to know about Satan, that you need to know about our deceiver. And the first one that I want to share with you is this. That's his personality. And you might just write out beside his personality Ephesians 2:2. And he's the prince of the power of the air. And he is the bitterest enemy of God. His entire desire is to destroy God. And his mode that he does this is through lying. Jesus said in John 8:44, "You are a liar, and you are of your father the devil, who is the father of lies." And so lying, and that's what I talked with a young man today. He wanted to speak with me. He said, "You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I don't know much about Christianity. I've been trying to listen, but it didn't make a lot of sense to me." And I began to explain why. So let me tell you why it doesn't make a lot of sense to you. Because your eyes are blinded, and your mind is blinded. And what happens, I said, there is a spiritual warfare going on, and the demons do not want you to receive the truth of the knowledge of God and turn from your sin and be saved. And he said, "Well, what do I do? How do I get to that point?" I said, "Well, here's what I want you to do," because he wasn't ready to be saved. I said, "You start with your Bible app," and I gave him the Bible app, and I said, "When you're driving from place to place, you put on the Bible. And you listen to the Word of God. Don't listen to another person. Listen to the Word of God. And listen, and as you listen, the Word of God will get in you, and God will do a work in your life. He'll save you if you'll sincerely seek Him." And I told him what I tell everyone. I say, I ask the question. Here it is. Are you an honest skeptic, or are you a dishonest skeptic? He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, do you believe truth? Or if truth is even revealed to you, will you receive it?" "Oh, yes, truth, yes." I said, "Okay, then you're an honest skeptic. Pray this prayer. Lord, I don't know if I believe in you or not, but if you're out there, I want to know." And you just listen to the Word of God, and He will reveal Himself to you. He said, "Okay, I'll take the challenge. We'll see. Hope He does." But that's the personality. Lying, lying, lying. The second thing that we need to know about the devil is his position. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he is called by the Lord the God of this age. Now, why would he be called the God of this age? Because there are no other gods before God. Well, that's the problem. We have other gods. And the other gods come from the liar, Satan, as he deceives people into believing there are other things, other gods. So, basically, when he was the son of the morning, he was Lucifer. But when he fell, he became Satan. So, his position is the God of this world. Not God, but the God of this world. The third thing, his chief purpose. What is the chief purpose that Satan has? Well, it's what it's always been. What we just read out of Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. He wants to overthrow God. He thought he had it accomplished at the cross. But he didn't realize that it was a mousetrap. And he was the one that was getting crushed. The fourth thing, his chief weapon. Deception. Deception. Think about it. Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say? Did God really say? You start to be deceived, you begin to doubt, and then you disbelieve. And that downward progression, always down. Fifth, his mode of operation. You say, his mode of operation? Well, yeah, it's what it's always been. His motive is murder. His motive is murder. All the way back in the Old Testament, you go back and when Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden, they had two sons later named Cain and Abel. If you read it, it says that Cain was a righteous man. Abel was an unrighteous man. They both brought these... Abel was a righteous... Did I say Cain? Yeah. Abel's a righteous man. Abel's a righteous man. Cain was an unrighteous man. And Cain brought his offering and it was rejected because it was the fruit of the ground and the ground had been tainted. And guess what Abel brought? He brought a blood sacrifice. And because his was accepted, Cain was so angry that what did he do? He committed the first murder. He was deceived. Deception, pride, and murder. Well, guess what? I told you that the mode of operation is, his motive is murder, but also his method is the lie. It's the lie. It's always the lie. And the sixth thing is Satan's destructive force. He is a destructive force. Think about it. Murder, sorcery, fornication, theft. That's his destructive force. And so many people have been deceived and are continuing to be deceived. I'll get off of that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. And Revelation chapter 12, I want to share a couple things with you. When we come to Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, it says these words. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars. What did I tell you a little bit ago about the angels?
A third of them fell.
A third of them fell. What do they call here? Stars. And threw them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. Who would that be, do you think? Christ. That was Mary. To devour her child as soon as it was born. How did he go about that? He was using whom? Herod. Kill all the babies. Now, let me just kind of unpack that just a little bit for you. Won't go too in-depth. But a dragon in the Bible is a flying serpent. And it's the biblical symbol for Satan. And if you want to look it up, go to Revelation 20, verse 4, and you can find it there. Now, when you start looking at this passage of Scripture, and it starts talking about a great fiery red dragon, seven heads. Why red? Because bloodshed. You have the head, the horns, the crowns, and those are symbols of the power that Satan claims. Those are symbols of that power. He did draw one-third of the stars, takes us back to Satan's initial rebellion against God and that ascension above the throne of God, and that's when they were cast out, because about one-third of the angels left with him. And the desire, did you notice the desire? It's always been to exterminate the people of God. Always been the same motive there. God's people and Israel. Now, think about it for a moment. And we start with Abel. Cain took Abel's life. And what Satan was trying to do is wipe the mankind out. Then you come on to in the Old Testament, and you come down to the book of Exodus. We could look at several other, but we'll streamline it. You come to the book of Exodus, and what happens? You have the nation of Israel that goes into Egypt and becomes in bondage to Egypt. What do they start doing to the male children? Killing them. And what was Pharaoh's ultimate goal? He was probably going to try to take all of them out. Then when they left Egypt, they went through the Red Sea. They were able to worship for a short period of time. And then as they began to move forward, the Amalekites tried to wipe them out. And if you know the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17, what it's talking about, these warriors were coming and they were raiding. And they were getting the children, the women, and the older people because they were falling behind. And the Amalekites were trying to wipe out the nation of Israel. Then you fast forward a little bit further, and you find Saul. David's been anointed king by God, and then you have Saul trying to stop the godly lineage by taking David out. But God preserved David's life as well. And then you just come on down. I mean, all of the nations, when they came into the promised land, you think of all the nations that tried to wipe them out. And then you come down to the Assyrians, who took the northern kingdom, and the dispersion that took place. And not only them, but then the Babylonians came along, and they raided and brought the best of the Jewish people to Babylon to indoctrinate them and have them integrated into their nation and other nations. And then after you have the Babylonians, then you have, let's just go back. Think about Haman. Remember Haman? What was he going to do? Exterminate the Jews. Let's get rid of them, all of them. Again, the Satan's great plan is I'm going to murder, I'm going to use the lie to accomplish my mission. Then you think about the Medo-Persian. They took over the Jewish people. And then you come down to the Greeks, and they try to have them to understand their language, worship their gods. And then you have the Romans, who have the pantheon, and they try to do the same thing and make them Roman citizens by integrating. Every time they took over a territory, they would bring their people in to intermarry and destroy the people of God all the time, lies after lies after lies that Satan was giving to try to destroy the people. And then in our text that we're reading there, it says, a fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Now, what did I tell you was a diadem last week in Sunday morning service? That's a royal crown. We get the Stephanos. That is the diadem. It is the crown of royalty. Who are the seven? And I may be going a little bit too deep in this for you, but anyway, who are the 7 nations that he's talking about? Well, let me just tick them off for you. It's Egypt. It was Assyria. It was Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire. It was the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire. You say, it's just 6, John. Well, that's because the 7th is the one when Antichrist comes, the very last one. And then what he does, he has these other 10 horns. And these 10 horns are 10 leaders of the confederation that he is going to empower, but they will be under the rule of Antichrist. Now, that's a lot to say, but I'm not going to go any deeper because I don't want you to ask too many questions concerning that. It would take way, way, way too long. But let's move to the last thing. I've gone longer than I thought it would already. They will be judged by God. And these fallen angels who were moral beings will be judged by God. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, even though they were moral beings, because they sinned against Almighty God and chose to rebel and chose Satan, they are doomed forever and ever. And Matthew 25:41, Jesus was speaking, and he said, he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire. Now notice this last part. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was never prepared for mankind. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Because every person that's ever been born has had the privilege, the opportunity to accept a holy God. If that were not true, and he prepared some for hell, predestined for hell, then Jesus would be a liar. Revelation 12, back to Revelation 12, verse 7 through 9. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought again with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Aren't you glad? Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And there has been warfare ever since, spiritual warfare. But the best news comes in this next verse, the last one that I'm going to use tonight, Revelation 20:10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. For whom was hell made? Devil and his angels. The unfortunate thing is unbelieving mankind will also spend eternity there. All right. Any questions?
What did you say the next study was about? I didn't hear you.
We'll be talking about the holy angels. We're still with the angels, but it will be the holy angels.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's four different areas that I'll break it down into. Okay?
God made everything perfect. That would have included Satan. But he allowed him to rebel or go against him, evidently. Just like we as humans have a choice of accepting Christ or not accepting him. I assume that was God's plan in the beginning.
Certainly.
Although he has always had total power over everything instead of
right.
Totally eliminated
right.
The situation.
And
he had a plan, evidently.
Right. God created beings with freedom of choice to choose to love him or not. By the way, just use this illustration. Who's sitting beside you?
Martha.
Who is Martha?
She's my lover.
That's right. Of how many years? Uh-oh, you're in trouble. How many? 47. So, but there was a choice made. You chose to love each other, and you still choose to love each other. The great thing is when we choose to love God, what a blessing it is and what a transformation in our life takes place. Amen. Let's stand. Let's be dismissed. Oh, thanks for the attendance, the questions, and the blessings. Barbara, dismiss us, please.